when you walk into the ring with the number one heavyweight of the world, you'll be ready, won't you? Why? Because I waited for 50 years to make you ready. You'll be able to spit nails, kid. Like the guy says, you're gonna eat lightning and you're gonna crap thunder. You're gonna become a very dangerous person.
Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Well, good morning. Good afternoon, good evening to all you people in the world, all you Blood Radio, Blood River Radio people out there, no matter where you are listening to Blood River Radio, listen to Eddie the Bombardier Miller. Today's date, like we always tell you, is May the 8th of 2021, which was VE Day. It's when our international Zionist Jews won World War II. And we lost. Matter of fact, the white Christianity lost, went down to defeat in Europe in May the 8th of 1945. People, you know the drill. Before we go any further, we have to say a prayer. So if you will, bow your heads. We're going to prayer. Almighty God, Almighty Father, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of Blood River Radio, the God of Liberty News Radio, we come to you to ask you for grace, to ask you for forgiveness for our sins, and to ask you to guard us, Lord, to protect us from our adversary, who is stronger now than he has been at any time in my life. Oh, Lord, if you will, let Blood River Radio always be at your service. Let us always do everything that you want us to do. We want to do your work, Lord, here on earth. And everything we do, Lord, we want to give you the glory for it. I ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. People, like I said, this is Blood River Radio you're listening to. We said the prayer, which is always our drill. And now I want to do something I didn't get to do last week. I want to go back to our donors and people who sent us letters. We have Bigfoot. Listen, Bigfoot in Germany, because we've been talking about Germany during the break. On our new system here, I can talk with our guests during the breaks. And even before we come on the show, so we were talking about Germany and German marks. But Bigfoot in Tennessee, he sent a nice little donation. And get this, he sent these banknotes, German banknotes. They were printed in 1922 and 1923. I have in my hand one banknote, $2 million. That was printed right in the heart of the hyperinflation of the Weimar Republic. And we're probably going to talk a little bit more about hyperinflation and what the international Zionist Jews did to Germany from the 1900 all the way through to the present. So I really appreciate that. I wouldn't take $10,000 for those banknotes. I'd also like to thank Jeff from Sam's backyard. Sam from Salt Lake. Excuse me, Jeff from Salt Lake. He's a new donor. He sent us a nice little donation. So I'd like to thank you so much, Jeff, for listening to our show. And make sure you tell Sam that you sent the Bombardier some money. Also, I would like to thank Dennis and Pam. Sent me a Virginia, sent a donation for me to try to go down to Florida to be with the survivors of United States Ship Liberty. And if we don't make it, if we can't get enough money to go down there, because it's going to cost a ton and it takes a tremendous amount of time. I don't like to sound dramatic, but my God, I have the older I get, the more I have to do. I never can stop. I feel guilty when I sit up in the morning and drink two cups of coffee. I got to be on the go, on the go, on the go. Anyway, Jim Zim, my combat infantryman, Vietnam, up close and personal with the Vietnamese, with the North Vietnamese and the VC. He sent me a nice birthday donation for my birthday. He said, do not put it in Blood River Radio. He said he wanted me to spend it on myself. So every spare nickel I get goes to running shoes, because I burn running shoes. I go through a pair of running shoes about once a month. I really do. Also, Ken B. of New York. He is like clockwork. He sends us a donation every month, every month, every month. God bless him. I wish he would call. I wish Ken would send me an email sometimes. I would love to talk to him. I'd love to talk to him on the phone. And people, I sent some. Got some nice notes here. This one here says, Eddie Bombardier, talk is cheap. For me, anyway. For you, not so much. Here's a little encouragement. More meaningful than all my cheap talk. I need better glasses. I hope it helps. He says, "The let me cut this other light on over here, people, because I'm determined to read this note. It says, the show just seems to get better and better as circumstances get worse and worse. I hope you can keep up the energy level as long as it takes until all which is so wrong is right." And that comes from Jim from Ferguscum, Missouri. And that's his words, not mine. He's from Ferguscum, Missouri, but he calls it Ferguscum. Here's another note. It says, "Hello, Eddie Miller. Thanks for having Phil Turney and his shipmates on your show on Blood River Radio. And I appreciate yours and Matt Scow's commentary to keeping alive the truth of June 8, 1967 attack on the USS Liberty by enemies of America, both within the federal authority and in Israel." And flipping over here, he says, "Thank you for your efforts at pursuing the truth. Some people are not willing to receive the truth and having been inoculated more and more with so many lies and so much deception. Keep up the good work and keep fighting the good fight. Our prayers are with you. Respectfully, Mike, a.k.a. Amos, from Georgia." Also, this note is from Dear Pam and Dennis. It said, "Dennis and I would like to contribute to your trip to Florida. Dennis would really love it if you and your wife and family could come up and visit us in Virginia. He is very proud of where we live and what we have to offer." And they're some of the finest people. I'm a sentimental dude and I almost cry sometimes thinking about Dennis, because Dennis is the one who fell and hurt his head not long ago. He's kind of like Lee Cochran. Yeah, I think he's had a stroke or two. But anyway, people, that's our donors. I hope I didn't leave anybody out. But if I did, I apologize. Send me an email, and I guarantee you I'll get back with you. People, last week, as you know, we had Miss Cornelia Mueller on from South Africa. And I went back, and I always critique the show every Sunday morning. And it was just like she said it was going to be. Of the connections they had in South Africa was really, really bad. She was out in the middle of a farm. If you can imagine being in the middle of a farm, Africa's kind of isolated anyway, in the middle of nowhere. So I was afraid it was going to be that way, but I said, well, we've got to try it anyway. We got to do the best we can. If it flops, it flops. I'm sure our listeners will understand. So that's what went on last week. And people, tonight, after this introduction that I just got through with, we're going to bring up Mr. Jim Rizzoli and Miss Monica Schaefer. And I'm getting ready to turn the thing over to Miss Monica Schaefer. And Miss Monica Schaefer is going to introduce herself. And she's going to introduce Mr. Jim Rizzoli. He's going to introduce himself. He's going to give a nice bio because he lends a lot of credibility to our show. And so we have a big surprise for you tonight, and it has to do with the historical revisionism. So anyway, how are you doing tonight, Miss Monica?
Doing very well, thank you, Eddie. It's great to be back on your show, and yeah, I'm really excited about having Jim Rizzoli on. We got connected, I guess it's just about 5 years ago, after I had done a very forbidden thing, put out a little video called "Sorry Mom, I Was Wrong About the Holocaust." And this is of great interest to Jim, that topic, and many, you know, much more, and, you know, the freedom of speech and what are we allowed to talk about or why are we not allowed to talk about certain things. But I want to hand it right over to Jim. We don't have very much time before the break, but Jim, if you could give a little bit of your background, a little bit of a bio, and then after the break we'll continue with that, and I'll hand it over to you now.
All right, first of all, it's nice to be on the show. Nice to see that there are people out there that care. It's up where I live, not many people care. You can't even have discussions like this up where I live. I mean, it just doesn't happen. So it is a very nice thing to be able to do this. And my background, I'm just an ordinary guy, just like everybody out there that's listening to the show. But the difference is that I just said to myself, I'm sick and tired of sitting around watching the world go by and not saying anything about it. And I, you know, way back in 2002 or 4 or thereabouts, you know, my city, it's a city now, but it used to be a town, was having a really big issue and still is having a big issue with immigration problems. And I spoke out about it. My brother and I, we got involved with it. And we said, look, we're not gonna allow this to happen. We're gonna say something about it. And that's what we did. My brother and I got started in doing video production. We started doing shows on the cable TV about immigration and what it was doing to the town at the time. And that was the start of our life. I mean, we got involved with it. I mean, I knew nothing about video production. I knew nothing about being behind a camera. I was just naive about it all. But I learned. I just, sat down and learned about it. And here I am now.
Jim, thank you so very much for the introduction. We'll come back. I want you to give a bio. Do not cut yourself short. We got to go to a quick break. People, we'll be right back with Ms. Monica Schaefer and Jim Rizzoli.
I'm Monica Schaefer from Canada, a former political prisoner. Here at Blood River Radio, we are not afraid to tell the truth and shame the devil. Our mission is to fight against white genocide. We do that by exposing the lies. We talk about the American Civil War. We talk about the vilification of German people and by extension, all white people. And we even talk about that linchpin lie, the Holocaust. Deception by the alien enemy within has brought us whites to our knees. My last words at the Schaefer's speech crime trial in Germany were, quote, "If there was a law forbidding us to breathe, we would break that law immediately just to live. And so it is with this law. We must break this law in order to survive and thrive as a people," unquote. Please donate to Blood River Radio and help keep us on the air.
I'm Michael Hill, President of the League of the South. I and my compatriots are Southern Nationalists. We seek the survival, well-being, and independence of the Southern people, our people. The League wants a South that enjoys the sweet fruits of Christian liberty and prosperity, but our current situation won't allow it. We must have our independence from Washington, D.C. and the globalists. The present system cannot be reformed. Without independence, we will continue down this path of destruction. To us, this is not acceptable. I'm asking you, Southern man and woman, to join us today to free the South. Call us at 256-757-6789 or see our website at www.leagueofthesouth.com. God save the South.
Being this is a .44 Magnum, the most powerful handgun in the world, and would blow your head clean off. You've got to ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, punk?
Well, dear Blood River Radio family, you're right back with the Bombardier, and it's May the 8th, Victory in Europe Day for all our Zionist Jews that are still persecuting us to this day. And we're going to go right back to Mr. Jim Rizzoli. And you know what? Mr. Jim Rizzoli, I'm sure he'll get to it, but he has interviewed a lot of the heaviest hitters in the historical revisionist column. In fact, he's interviewed the man himself, Robert Faurisson from France, professor, I believe, who was the know-it-all, and he is the guru. He's deceased now. He was the guru of Holocaust revisionism. With that, and we also have Miss Monica Schaefer on, just in case you've just tuned in. So with that, we're going to go right back to Mr. Jim and let him pick up where he was, where he left off before he went to the break. Go ahead, Jim.
I had to preface some of my background because I didn't get into Holocaust revisionism from revisionist aspect of it. I got in it from the immigration aspect of it. And I have a very interesting way that that happened. And you'll see how it all ties in. Now, there's a man that most people know in the revisionist movement. His name is Ernst Zundel. And Ernst Zundel was someone I came across, not because of Holocaust revisionism, but I came across him because of immigration, believe it or not. And you're probably saying, well, how did that have anything to do with immigration? Well, one day I'm on the internet and I come across Ernst Zundel. I see it on the internet that this man was being deported from the United States. And I'm saying, why is this white guy being deported from the United States? And then I looked into it and his name was Ernst Zundel. And then I find out that he was a Canadian nationalist married to an American woman, and they were deporting him because of immigration issues. They said that he didn't file something properly, and they were deporting him. I'm saying, well, why don't you come to my town? My town has 10,000 illegal immigrants in it, and they're living here illegally. Why aren't you deporting them? But you decide to deport a white guy living in, I think it was, what, Tennessee? He was living. And, so then I started investigating Ernst Zundel. And I come to find out that, one of the reasons why Ernst Zundel is getting deported is not really because of his immigration status. That was just a ploy. They just used that as an excuse. He's getting deported because he's a Holocaust revisionist. I mean, this is really why he is. I mean, they're not going to admit this. But, he took a stand against the Jews in the Holocaust, exposing the Holocaust as being a hoax. Okay? And so that was it. Once I started looking into Ernst Zundel, then I got into his website, I got into all his information, and I said, oh my goodness, this is incredible. I knew nothing really about the Holocaust and, about his side of the story, and then I investigated it more, and that became my main focus, even, beyond immigration issues. I started really taking a more of an interest in that topic. So then, I just took off from there. And then I just started doing more investigation. And it was just something to do. But, you have to understand, this topic is not a topic you just can talk about. I had a job, okay? I had to deal with people. In my business, I had a pretty good business, and the majority of my business were Jews. They who I serviced these Jews in my business. So once they got wind that I was involved in this issue, this Holocaust issue, and I started dealing with that issue, well, things didn't go too well. Okay, so that was kind of like, it took a couple years for that to happen, but it did happen. Eventually, I got into a situation where on my cable show, because my cable show was on from, like, say, 2004, and I really never got into the Holocaust for many years, say 5 or 6 years, let's see, 2010 or thereabouts. I didn't really start talking about the Holocaust issue, but once I did, that was the end of my business. All the Jews abandoned me, and I got kicked out of my business network, and it was quite a thing. So I mean, I had to make a decision. And this is like, your listeners that are out there, at some point in time, you have to make a decision in life. It's going to be beneficial for you or it's not. Even though financially I was able to survive fine, even though I lost 75% of my customers, I was still able to survive. But, that's the decision I made. I had to deal with the topic. I had to talk about this topic on my cable show, and that became one of the main topics on my cable show, talking about the Holocaust. And I just went on from there. And, of course, things went downhill after that, even more so. I mean, it doesn't get any better. once you see, I came out of the closet. You see, that's what happened with me. All right, I held it in all these years, and then I came out of the closet, and I said, "Well, that's it. I'm going to start talking about it." And I
that's
started
a good,
talking about it.
That's a great way to put it. Coming out of the closet, it's very freeing, even though you get affected in your life. You know, your livelihood, your life. And I just want to add something there about Ernst Zundel and the deportation story. Three countries, the governments of three countries colluded to get him yanked out of the United States at the time. And yes, he was living in Tennessee. So Germany, Canada, and the American government. So the three governments, they colluded to set up, like you say, Jim, a ploy. Something about missing a deadline, missing some kind of a hearing for a passport expiry thing, which they didn't tell him about the meeting or the hearing. And, you know, they made it so that he would trip up on some technicality on getting a passport renewal. Something to that effect, anyway. I might have some detail wrong, but it was they made it so that it wasn't directly about his revisionism, but it certainly was because of his telling historical truth. And yeah, it is the topic that we're not allowed to debate, discuss. What other topic in history is there that we are not allowed to question, you know, debate it, discuss? What other topic in history is there that we are not allowed to do that? And if we do, there are repercussions. I'll hand it back to you, Jim, to carry on.
Well, I mean, this was just the beginning. Okay. All right. I mean, it gets worse. All right. So, you know, I talked about this topic on my cable show, and, you know, obviously the cable companies are run by Jews. I mean, there's just no way out of it. All right. The cable companies, I mean, I'm talking local cable companies. Okay. What happens is the Jews get into everything. All right. They make sure they get into all the politic. They get into anything that controls media in the town. OK, so they control your school boards. They control your politics, the selectmen, the town councils. They control. They make sure they get in there. And that's what happened. So now here I am in my cable show. And now I had a lot of you know, people, you know, they watched my show and they liked my stuff on immigration. So I really, you know, was probably popular. In fact, in regards to popularity, let's get back to immigration, okay? Because what would happen in Massachusetts is anytime there was an immigration issue, because of, you know, my brother Joe and I having our cable show, we would talk about immigration, and the media would come to us. Now, I'm talking the big media. I'm talking about the major cables, the major TV stations, when there was an immigration crisis in Massachusetts. They would come to us and get our opinion on the immigration issue. So we were very out there. I mean, people knew who we were, okay? So, I mean, I was out in the main media. In fact, it got to the point that, you know, we have a lot of Brazilians in Framingham, and they actually came up here and did a story on us, you know, because we were doing the story, all these stories on immigration here about the Brazilians. So the Brazilian station down in Brazil, which had 50 million customers, 50 million viewers, they came up and you did an interview, and I was able to get on their, you know, their TV station down there. You know, so, I mean, I was well known. In the town, in the city, in Massachusetts, my brother and I, okay? So that was working out pretty well. But now, when I got into the Holocaust information, okay, when I started talking about the Holocaust, that was the end of that, okay? And I will get
Jim,
back
to that.
Jim, we
have to take a quick break, and please do not lose your train of thought because you're hitting on all cylinders, brother. People will be right back with Mr. Jim Rizzoli and Monica Schaefer in just 1 minute. Hold on to your seats.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Wendy King.
The Labor Department reports 266,000 jobs were added last month. That's less than half of the numbers for March and lower than economists were expecting. President Biden says the economy is still digging out of a very deep hole.
Out of an economic collapse that cost us 22 million jobs.
The president insisted that rebuilding the economy with economic stimulus cash is a long-distance marathon, but not a sprint. The White House is allocating more than $21.5 billion emergency rental assistance to prevent people who lost their jobs during the pandemic from being evicted. New data shows that more than 7 million Americans were behind on their rent last month. This is USA Radio News.
Maybe you've heard about MediShare and you know what it is. It's the affordable alternative to health insurance. But you've wondered, can I really save a significant amount of money on my monthly health care bills? And the answer is an emphatic yes, you can. You can save a lot of money. Whether it's just for you or for an entire family, MediShare has an option for you. In fact, the typical family saves $500 a month switching to MediShare. And it really is the gold standard when it comes to healthcare sharing. You get free telehealth services. You get a huge network of doctors. You get great customer support. And you get the sense of security that comes from being a part of 400,000 people who share not just each other's medical bills, but purpose too. MediShare is a community of Christians who pull together and pray for each other, which is very refreshing right now. If you want more info, it's so simple. You can get a price within 2 minutes. Call 844-34-BIBLE. That's 844-34-BIBLE. 844-34-BIBLE.
Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas went to a border processing facility in Texas. He said the situation is challenging.
But our plan of execution is well underway, and the results are compelling.
Mayorkas said the situation is changing, and he showed the differences at the facility in Donna, Texas.
Rather than approximately 3,700 unaccompanied children, there are 334.
He said the facilities are no place for a child, and they will stay in government care until they're reunited with their families.
We are reengineering that process, and so we are building back better.
He also said they're going after the smuggling organizations that exploit the vulnerable children. In Afghanistan, 25 people were killed when bombs exploded in Kabul. More than 50 people were injured. So far, there's no claims of responsibility. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Dear people, I want to thank you so much for listening to Blood River Radio, and I'd like to thank all of my precious brothers and sisters out there. I forgot to mention, the Sasquatch in Florida. He's probably back off his honeymoon now. He went down in the swamps of Florida and caught him a wild female Sasquatch, so he decided he'd go ahead and get married, so they got married, and I've met both of them. They're the most precious people you've ever seen. And also, Matt the Mole, he's been in love for so long. He finally took the jump, took the leap. He got married to Miss Abigail. But I named her a Bubba Gail because, you know, she's an old country girl and she's kind of like a female Bubba. So I call her a Bubba Gail. Anyway, I don't know when they're coming back from their honeymoon. They'll probably be coming back this weekend, I guess. But I hope they had if they're listening, I hope they had a really wonderful honeymoon, both of those people. Anyway, Mr. Jim, if you will, Mr. Jim Rizzoli, go back and continue on where you started.
All right. Well, My continuation now has to do with the Holocaust issue, because like I mentioned, that once I started getting into the Holocaust, things changed in my town. Instead of being a famous person and known all over the place and everybody recognizing you and wanting to talk to you and speak to you and, shake your hand when you walk into stores and say they saw you on TV and you have all this, adoration, now I'm looked at as a pariah. Okay, because now I'm speaking against the Jews. Oh, my goodness gracious. How can you do something like that? So I decided I decided I'm gonna get into the politic of the town. I'm gonna run for selectman, and so I decided to run for selectman. And I, you know, you think, you know, you run for selectman, you know, you have some good ideas what to do with immigration, what to do with this to make the town a better place. Well, it doesn't work that way, okay? We got a bunch of knuckleheads that live in my town, and they don't really want to do what's right. And what they did was when I ran for selectman, I'll explain it later about the other politics too. But I ran for selectman, and what they do is they use everything against you that they can. They don't care about what you're saying good or what you want to do good. They want to use everything against you that they can use against you, okay? And of course, they brought up the Holocaust topic. Oh, Mr. Rizzoli's a Holocaust denier, and we can't have anybody like him in politics. How can you have a Holocaust denier representing the city or the town? I mean, this just doesn't happen. And so, obviously, you know, I got defeated there. And then, you know, I decided to run for state rep. I figured, well, I'll give it another shot, you know. And the same thing happened there. That became the main topic. I mean, can you believe it? Me being a Holocaust denier was the main topic of the discussion. And obviously, you know, you're not going to get anybody voting for you once they get everybody looking at that topic, you know, that you're a Holocaust denier. So go ahead,
Martha. Yeah, I'll just say, and people also, they don't want to associate with you anymore for fear of that they then themselves will be called a Holocaust denier if they even, you know, continue to shake your hand in the street and that kind of thing. I'm sure you experienced that, didn't you? And
yeah.
I find it really interesting that your connection to, okay, now you're talking about the Jews, or you're actually going after something about the Jews. But, you know, the immigration story is indirectly also about the Jewish agenda. But it's not so openly associated with them, not for, at least for the majority of people, whereas the Holocaust story, that is their story. That's their religion, you could call it. But so that's why, yeah, if anybody starts talking about that, nothing else matters anymore. It doesn't matter if you would have been a saint on all other counts, and, you know, if everybody actually knew that you would be the best representative for them in political office, but when it comes to suddenly you have disputed this holy story of theirs, then that's different, and they do control the media and all those things. So carry on. I don't want to take too much time.
So that's what happened. I mean, I was dead meat in my city now. Well, it was a town then, but it's a city now. But I mean, that was it. Nobody would have anything to do with you. But I still had my cable show on TV at that point in time, still, you know, using the topic, talking about the Jews, and you know, presenting a lot of information on the cable shows about the topic. And they didn't like it. They didn't like it at all. And so eventually, okay, they took the show off the air. And in 2010, actually, they took the show off the air. Of course, the excuse, you know, they say we are violating rules and regulations, but that's never the case. But we were off the air for about a year. In 2011, we got back on again. Now, this time, I was able to get back on, and I had one show at the time on. But this time, what we did is we were able to produce four shows. And so, you know, because my brother could have two shows, I can have two shows on. And so we produced four shows, and all of them were related in some way. One had to do with religion, one had to do with the immigration, one had to do with the Holocaust, and I forgot what the other one, maybe just town issues. So, you know, we took advantage of the fact that we could put all this information, and the fact that we, you know, we could produce our own shows. That was the big thing, because if you had to have someone else do this, it would have been just too big of an issue. But we were able to produce four shows, and this is what I did. I had four shows going, and every night of the week, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday, for at least four or five nights a week, there was something on the TV at night that had our information on it. So it was either Holocaust, immigration, you know, town issues, religious issues, or whatever. We were able to just battle away with these topics. And they hated it. Oh, my goodness, they hated it. And so what happened, and I mean, you had to see it. They were screaming. They knew they couldn't do anything at that point. But eventually, they conspired, just like they conspired against Christ and how they conspired against him to kill him. They conspired against us. They got false witnesses against us, and they lied against us, and they said we were violating these rules and regulations. And then, of course, in 2014, they were able to take us off the air for good. And that was the end of that. So my cable show experience was gone.
Speaking of conspiring, just like they conspired against Ernst Zundel, they made up some weird story and they conspired against him too. That's what they do. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the real reason why they wanted us off the air was because of the Holocaust. That was the issue. The immigration issue wasn't even the issue. They a lot of people. I had illegal immigrants even come up to me, and immigrants in stores, and shake my hand and thank me for my shows on the immigration. But they hated me because of the shows on the Holocaust, and I lost a lot of our followers on that. So that was the end of the show in 2014. We lost that, but that wasn't too bad. I mean, that's the way it went. But something kind of good happened in my life that kind of was serendipitous. And what happened was, I on Facebook, I wasn't really a big Facebook person, but I end up someone getting in touch with me on Facebook, and this person was Diane King, okay, and she saw my bio on, you know, I had a fake bio, you know, saying I was born in 1899 or something. So I had some crazy bio talking about me being like a Hitler follower. Okay, and so she was kind of interested in that. I guess you'd have to hear her story about it. But she got interested in that, and she got in touch with me, and we started talking. And at first I didn't really want to have anything to do with anyone, but I eventually started talking with her, and she was just a wonderful person, and she ended up she ended up coming up here to meet me in Massachusetts, and it was really great. I mean, it was a real great experience. And then, Diane and I now, I look at her as being married to her. She's my compadre. You know, she works with me, and even though she lives in Texas and I live up here, she comes up and visits me every month, every other month, or however it works out. She comes up here for a month. She goes back there, because she has a house down there, and she has family. She has five kids. She has 8 grandkids. I mean, she has a life down there, and it's kind of, hard. I don't want her to leave that life, and I have to stay up here because I have commitments up here too. But it's working out great. But so Diane comes up here, and I was able to teach Diane how to do video editing. And so I said, Diane, look it, they kicked me off the air. Why don't I get you, because you're a woman, they love doing stuff with women, I'm going to get you, I'm going to teach you how to do video editing, and why don't we get your shows back on the TV? And that's what we did, and I'll explain that when we get back.
What a nice story. What a nice story.
Great
Thanks.
Great story. People, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to go right back to Miss Monica Schaefer and Jim Mazzoli as soon as we come back from this break.
This is Matt from Blood River Radio. Blood River Radio is your voice to save our land, our people, and our future. We propose Christian solutions to an anti-Christian assault on our bloodlines. We love what we do, but we cannot do it without your help. The annual operating cost of Blood River Radio is more than even a team of people should bear alone. With your donation, we can take the fight to our enemies and hold our own people accountable for their treachery against us. Please go to our website, www.bloodriverradio.com, and find a way to help us that is suitable for you. We are thankful for any cash, check, or money orders we get. We also appreciate your correspondence or letters of encouragement. Once again, please help. And thank you for joining the fight.
Okay, listen up, people. I'm beating the bushes for a few good men. I don't want you boys the alt-right. I want the hardcore of the hard-right. And I need you front and center, boots on the ground, at a minute's notice, in the streets, and I need your money. You know the problem that the whites of the world face. It's the all-too-real threat of global extermination. And you know what's going on in South Africa and Western Europe. And unless you're semi-comatose, you've already seen the first stages of white genocide unfolding in our country. Our culture is under constant full-scale attack by our enemy. The enemy never sleeps. They spend day and night wrecking the monuments and the graves of our beloved kin. They attack us physically everywhere we go. They've already taken the linen and our stone. Now they're coming after our flesh. And if you're not too squeamish, if you want to be part of the number one white advocacy group and the number one white civil defense group in the United States, then contact Eddie Abombadour Miller at BloodRiverRadio.com. And please, please donate. And God knows you need us as much as we need you. Thank you.
Dear Blood River Radio family, my Lord, I'm having a good time. We have two fantastic people on the night. All you people out there in Blood River Radio land, you know Monica Schaefer. Man, what a trooper. In fact, I've nicknamed her Miss Braveheart, and she is a braveheart indeed. We have Mr. Jim Rosoli coming on. He's on tonight, doing a great job, very knowledgeable. He's done a lot of work as an activist. We have him on the night. And we've been talking about how the Jews have pursued him, in case you're just coming on, because he was talking about their patented trademark God of the Holocaust, the God that will have no other gods before. If you get after that God, he will kill you. That God will send every demon in hell after you. And we have endless amounts of evidence to prove that. And before we end this, I'm going to read this to all my Southern Baptist buddies out there, which I used to be a Southern Baptist. And you say you're a Christian, but you call yourself a Judeo-Christian. You worship the Jews, and you worship Israel. And when I'm talking about the worshiping Jews, I'm talking about these Antichrist Jews. Let me read what your Bible, the Holy Bible. This is my King James Bible. This is the gold standard. All right, if you go to 2 John, starting with verse 22. Now, keep in mind that Jews do not believe in Jesus. They believe in Jesus Christ, but they said he was born of a whore during her menstrual period. And they said that Jesus right now is in hell, burning. He's being boiled in semen forever. He'll be there forever. That's what they say. You can look it up into the Talmud. A Talmud is in every single, the old Babylonian Talmud, in every single Jewish synagogue on this earth. They have one. Okay, let me see what the people say about the Jews. Let's see what about the John, the Saint John. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Whoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. He that acknowledges the Son hath the Father. Okay, now let's go over here to same book, St. John, chapter 4, verse 3. And every spirit confesseth not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. This is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. And I have one more over here. Let me find it. It is, let me look over here, right up there, 1972. Here we go, right over here, 1970. I'm not going to leave this out, folks. Okay, this is in John. This is in John. This is the second epistle of John, St. John. It says, whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. And get this, people. Listen carefully. If there come any unto you and bring not the doctrine, receive him not into your house. You're not even supposed to take these people in your house. Don't even try to witness to them. If there come any, I'm going to read that again. If there come any unto you that bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. Now, you listen to that, Baptists, Episcopalians, Lutherans, whoever you are out there, you keep talking about Judeo-Christians. And like we said in the break, calling yourself a Judeo-Christian is like saying I'm a virgin whore. And that's how much sense it makes. Now, people, I'm going to shut up. We're going to go right back to Mr. Jim Rizzoli. He's going to take up where he left off when we went to the break. I just had to get that in. Go ahead, Mr. Jim.
All right. Well, thank you. Like I was mentioning that, I had Diane come up, and Diane eventually got into doing the video editing, and she ended up taking over the shows, and she ends up putting four shows on again on the cable TV, which are still up. They're trying their best to come after her, always making an excuse why her video, something wrong with the video, one thing they love to do is, oh, you have something in that video that's copyrighted material. Now, think about this. The only person that can make a complaint about a copyrighted material, okay, is the person themselves. Okay, the cable station has no right to make any complaint, but the cable station is making the complaint, that you have a copyrighted piece in there. And again, everybody uses copyrighted material. This is life. I mean, that's the way it is. But anyway, they keep fighting her, and she keeps working around it. She'll take it out and put something else back in. So the shows are still running, okay? The only problem is they put us at 1 o'clock in the morning, okay? They don't want us at any, prime time, because if anybody sees the show at prime time. So the shows are playing at 1 o'clock in the morning. So she does... Diane's doing a tremendous job. She puts four shows together, and she has so much material to choose from, because she has stuff that's already been put out there that she can put on the show. So she has, The Greatest Story Never Told. She can use that. She can use Hellstrom. She can use Europa, which is a big video, 10 series, this David Duke videos. She puts stuff up there that's even stronger than what I was putting up before, because we have more new stuff to put up. So she's doing a wonderful job keeping those shows up. So that's where we are now with the cable show in my city now, still being played, but they want to take it down. I know they at some point they're gonna take it down in some way, but they haven't yet. So that's a good thing. So, but in regards to Diane, what she did, why she's really been such a good thing in my life is because, remember, I had nothing to do with revisionism of people knowing who was who, and Diane knew everybody. Okay, she actually knew most of the people, or met a lot of the people in the revisionist movement, because of her relationship that she had with Paul Fromm. And so anyway, that dissolved, and then when she met me, she was able to use all the the people that she knew, and to find out who was who, and I was able to get in contact with people. And believe it or not, you're not gonna believe this, Fred Lucha, she did not that she met Fred Lucha. She did research, and she found out that Fred Lucha lived only about 20 miles away from me. I mean, I couldn't believe it. I says, here I am living in Massachusetts, and the man who exposed the Holocaust for the lies that it was because of the fake gas chambers there that he went to examine because of being given that position in the Zundel trial, she found out where he lived. And she got in touch with him, and then I got in touch with Fred Lucha, and I had an interview with Fred Lucha. So that was kind of a really big thing. And then go ahead.
Yeah, isn't it just beautiful how the stars line up sometimes? So there you felt you're
incredible.
All alone, but yeah.
Yeah, and then it went on to the other revisionists too. I mean, I was able to get in contact with Forreston, and get in contact with Tobin, and get in contact with Bradley Smith and Grandma Rudolph. So I said, what I did is I said, I'm going to take it upon myself. I want to interview all these mainline revisionist people that have been inspirational to me in the movement. And that's what I did. I took it upon myself to do that. And I believe I interviewed the majority of them. I really wanted to interview a couple more. Ernst Zundel, but he died. I want to interview Butz, Arthur Butz, but he hasn't been too receptive of it. David Irving, I wanted to interview him, but he doesn't seem to be receptive of it either. But I did interview the mainline revisionists that I feel that were, you know, the best ones to interview, and I got all that at least on video. I got that up. I had them up on YouTube, but they dissolved me from, you know, they banned me from YouTube. So I mean, I don't have anything on YouTube anymore. But you have several
channels like BitChute and Brighton, yes. and you've been actively putting a lot of these videos back, have you not?
Oh yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm off of YouTube. I'm off of all these mainline sites. They won't allow me on. So now I got on BitChute. Eventually, I got on World Truth Videos, and I got on Brighteon. So those are my main three places. And I have, if I had to add up all those together, it's going to be at least 1,000 videos on those sites. And most of them deal with the Holocaust, the Jews. Other things that we talk about, which is good. So I do, you know, every week now, this is what I do. My whole job now is I take information. I consider myself, as Mac Weber calls me, a publicist. Okay, I don't write anything. What I do is I take information, I republish it, I repackage it, I get it out there in video form. I'll take an hour video. I might take, you know, a 5-10 minute snippet out of it that's important, and I'll repackage it and get it out there so people can see it. So that's what I do. So I spend a lot of my time reading publications, reading books. I do a lot of reading. I do a lot of watching video. I do a lot of video editing, and then I do my own videos. So I keep pretty busy. Doing all my video stuff, believe me, because there's a lot of stuff to do, especially with other topics too. But mostly I deal with the Holocaust.
Yeah, and we should note that many of the names that you mentioned, most of them, in fact, they had been imprisoned at some point, right? And for somebody who's listening that, you know, we could call them normies if they haven't yet sort of looked into these things, and so they'll just assume that the Holocaust happened because that's what we've all been told. They say, oh, well, there you go. They were thrown in jail. That proves they're wrong, doesn't it? I mean, I had people say that to me. But, yeah. You know, this is the thing. Like, they always tell us the Holocaust is the single event in history that has the most evidence to support it. But guess what? They don't even allow evidence into the court. At least in Germany anyway, and I think many other countries too, evidence and truth is not a defense. They even say that. The judges have actually come out and said that truth is no defense. So, I mean, you come back to a simple statement, truth does not fear investigation, and only lies need to be propped up by law, right? So that's the essence of it.
That's the whole thing. I mean, I hope your audience understands this, that the most important topic to expose in this whole world is the Holocaust first. Once you expose the Holocaust, now you can jump to every other thing, because what the Jews use to lie about the Holocaust, they're using to lie about everything else. And that's the beginning of it.
Hey, Jim, we've got to go transition to the second hour. This is going to be kind of a long break. When we come back, we need to get right on that last statement you made, okay?
Right.
That the Holocaust, like Monica says, that's the linchpin that holds all of their lives together. People, right. Hold on to your seats. We're taking a little long break. We're transitioning to the second hour. We'll be right back in a minute. So you listen to Blood River Radio. My name is Eddie DeBombadour Miller. I'll be right back.